This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through his series on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, here's Pastor Sandy with his message entitled, The Narrows.
Following Jesus might make for a rocky road, but the destination is to life. Heaven is ahead for those who follow down the difficult path. And realize this truth. Heaven is where the road goes. You need to remember this. Heaven is where the road goes. You see, there are folks today who enter the wide gate and they travel the broad road and they still hope to go to heaven. Don't be so foolish. You don't take 75 north and get to Orlando. You go to where the road goes. You end up where the road you're traveling is actually headed. And it's not the broad way that's pointed toward heaven. It's the narrow gate. It's the difficult way. Open your Bible. Study the map. Make sure the road you're on is headed where you want to end up. Heaven is where the road goes. Ironic, a recent Gallup poll revealed that among Americans, 54% of the population believe in a literal hell, but only 4% believe that they're going to go there. You know, Jesus would disagree with those results. Sadly, he tells us, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in. You see, there are two gates and there are two roads and there are two destinations. And there are two group of travelers. You see, the broad way is brimming with people. Lots of people on the broad way. It's kind of like Facebook. You know, you got 2,000 friends, but probably only three people who loan you $20. I mean, there's always a big crowd on the broad way. Hey, hell is like a college cafeteria. It's packed with folks who hate the food. It's the same old every day. It's noisy and crowded and hot, and you have to fend for yourself. Whereas heaven is like that little boutique restaurant off campus. It's cozy and comfortable. The food is delicious. It's cooked to order. The service makes you feel like family. And since it's hard to get to, there's never a crowd. I hope you don't fall for the old lie. Since everybody else is doing it, it must be right. Oh, I hope you don't fall for that. Once after a huge earthquake rocked Southern California, W.C. Fields was asked why he wasn't going to move. Fields replied, "We're crazy to live here. But there sure are a lot of us." Foolishly, people find security in the crowd. There's a perceived safety among numbers. And this is the attitude of folks who are traveling down this broad way. Whereas life with Jesus, life on this difficult way, can get terribly lonely. Often a Christian's friends are few. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus was encouraging his disciples when he said to them, "Do not fear, little flock." In the original language, it's literally micro flock. And at times, the crowd that's following Jesus shrinks down to microscopic size. You see, there's lots of company on the Broadway. It's a party bus. Whereas follow Jesus, and though the views are great, and though the destination's unbeatable, nevertheless, the road can get bumpy, and at times you ride alone. And quite frankly, our numbers may shrink further in the days ahead. Stand up for biblical values today. Stand up for Christ in the workplace or at school, and you may not be as popular afterwards. Go into your workplace tomorrow and affirm the Bible's teaching that homosexuality is a sin, or that all religions don't lead to God, or that husbands should be the head of their homes, or that apart from Jesus, man is destined to hell, or that Islam is a lie. Go on the record with these issues, and you might lose your job, or your scholarship, or the esteem of your peers. At least folks who dare to obey are going to grow fewer in the days ahead. 90 years ago, British pundit G.K. Chesterton wrote, "You are free in our time to say that God does not exist. You are free to say that he exists and is evil. You are free to say that he would like to exist if he could. You may talk of God as a metaphor or a mystification. You may water him down with gallons of long words or boil him to the rags of metaphysics. And it is not merely that nobody punishes, but nobody protests. But if you speak of God as a fact, as a thing like a tiger, as a reason for changing one's conduct, then the modern world will stop you somehow if it can. Sadly, Chesterton's words are ringing more and more true every day. Choose to enter the narrow gate. Travel down the difficult way, and you'll experience stretches where you're hated. Long stretches when you walk alone. I believe it's time for all Christians to count the cost. Will we remain committed to the narrow gate, the difficult way, life everlasting, the few who find it? You see, serious times call for serious people. Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary to the Indians of Ecuador, once prayed this, "Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me." Do we dare pray that same prayer? Lord, make me a fork in the road, a point where choices are made. You see, there are two gates and two ways and two destinations and two crowds, and then there are also two teachers. Verse 15 warns us, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The truth is, not everybody who claims to speak for God does. There are false teachers today spreading false doctrine. In World War II, the Nazis, they counterfeited $630 million worth of pound notes. They did so in an effort to sink the British economy. And likewise, the devil will use not bogus bills, but bogus brothers, counterfeit Christians to try to sink the church. Beware of beauty that's only fleece deep. Realize Satan's strategy. He's created a world system that's hostile to the cause of Christ. But if he's unable to intimidate us, he'll next try to infiltrate us. Satan thinks, if I can't beat them, I'll join them. And thus he sends in wolves who are dressed in sheep's clothing. Slick talkers, supposedly with a word from God, to deceive folks, to rip off their blessings in Christ. I like how Jude 4 puts it. "For certain men have crept in unnoticed." Creepy people creeping into the church. A guy slips into the singles group and claims, "Oh, I love this body." Well, you need to make sure it's the body of Christ he's talking about and not the female bodies in the fellowship. There's an elder who gets a little pushy or a little greedy. Well, watch him. Watch him carefully. Look under his fleece for his fangs. Don't be gullible. Everybody who comes in the name of God is not from God. Remember Little Red Riding Hood, how naive that poor girl was? She missed some real red flags, didn't she? "Grandma, what big eyes you have." The supposed grandma replied, "The better to see you with, my dear." She should have been paying attention to those big eyes. "Grandma, what big arms you have." "The better to hug you with, my dear." I mean, that sister should have gotten suspicious. Grandma's got flabby arms, not big arms. "Oh, Grandma, what big teeth you have." And then the line, "The better to eat you with, my dear." Little Red Riding Hood was so naive, she deserved to be eaten. And here's the lesson for us. If a person, I don't care if she looks like a grandma or slick preacher, if he looks like a wolf and smells like a wolf and talks like a wolf, even if he's got 30,000 people coming to his church, you better start running. In fact, Jesus tells us how to discern a false teacher. Verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Fruits are the byproduct of the life of the tree. Thus, apple trees produce apples. Pecan trees produce pecans. A life rooted in God will yield godly character. You know, a lot of so-called Christians and even Christian ministries are like Christmas trees. They're beautifully decorated. But understand, ornaments are not the same thing as fruit. Ornaments hang from a limb, but they're not part of the tree. They're just decoration. Fruit springs from the life of the tree. That's what you want to look for in a Christian ministry. Fruit, not ornaments. Thus, when a man creeps into the church, we need to ask to see his fruits. We need to be fruit inspectors. And even if it takes some time, we need to watch and wait. Don't listen to what a person says until you examine how that person lives. What's the fruit being generated in their speech, and in their conduct, and in their marriage, and in their relationship with their kids? For Jesus tells us in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." I mean, anyone can talk the talk, but words alone don't make a good witness. Can you walk the walk? He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Here's a person who was used by Jesus and yet never knew him. He even possessed spiritual gifts, even miracle powers. Think of a counterfeit $100 bill. While in circulation, that bogus bill might do a lot of good. I mean, it can put shoes on a child's feet. It can put food at a family's table. It can even help a church pay its bills. But at some point, that counterfeit bill is going to get exposed. Oh, while in circulation, the funny money might have done some good. But that won't save it when it finally gets uncovered. And likewise, one day, Jesus Christ is going to yank all of the counterfeit pastors and prophets out of circulation. He might have used them for a season, for he loves God's people. But he never, never, ever approved of their methods. And in that day, Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Jesus instructs us that our multiple option society, that there are only two gates, only two ways, two destinations, two crowds, two teachers, and then just two foundations. And realize your life is being built on a foundation. The footings of your life are your beliefs and your habits and your practices. Right now, your life might not look a lot different than the lives of other people that are building around you, the life that your neighbor's building. I mean, the view from the street level may be very similar. You both go to work, you both mow the lawn, you both attend church, you both play with your kids. But according to Jesus, it's when the rain falls and when the wind howls and when the storm blows. That's when the foundation of your life gets revealed. That's when the real differences are seen. Notice how Jesus explains it in verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Notice what constitutes strong footings. It's hearing these sayings of mine and doing them. Here's a man who built his life and his family on the truths of Jesus. You know, throughout the scripture, the rock is a symbol of Jesus. Messiah is referred to as a stone, as a tried stone, as a precious cornerstone, as a rock cut out without hands. Whereas sand is a symbol of mankind. Why? Because sand is porous and shifty and unstable. It conforms to whatever mold it's poured. I hate to inform you of this. There's a little bit of sandy in all of you. I mean, do you base your decisions on God's timeless truth? Or do you take your cues from talk radio? Think about where you base your assumptions and what you base your life on. Is it talk radio? Is it some half-cocked celebrity and what he says? I mean, are you living your life based on your favorite beer commercials? Or the redneck wisdom you get at work? Or some best-selling paperback? Think about what people base their lives on. It's time to abandon shifting philosophies and fluctuating opinions and grainy perspectives. It's time for us to build our lives on the timeless truths of God's Word. 20 years ago, news commentator Ted Koppel, he spoke at the Duke University graduation ceremonies. He made an observation that is as true today as it was then. He said, "We've spent 5,000 years as a race of rational human beings trying to drag ourselves out of a slime by searching for truth in moral absolutes. But today, in place of truth, we've discovered facts. For moral absolutes, we've substituted moral ambiguity. We now communicate with everyone and say absolutely nothing. Our society finds truth too strong a medicine to digest undiluted." You see, here's what we've done today. We have substituted facts for truth. I mean, you can Google an endless stream of data and still not have any discernment. You can have data, but when it comes to discernment, you're clueless. This is why we need God's wisdom. Recall, Jesus was a carpenter. He knew the value of a structure's foundation. It's been said, in building anything, you should never go up until you first dug deep. And this principle stands true for our spiritual lives. Have you thoroughly examined why you do what you do? Have you made sure that there's a biblical basis for every assumption, every identity, every habit and hobby, every precept and perspective and position? You know, this past April, I taught at a pastor's conference over in Italy. While there, Kathy and I, we got to visit the little town of Pisa and its famous 800-year-old Leaning Tower. This 14,500-ton tower, it slumps 17 inches off-center. And it's because the original architects, they failed to build its foundation on the bedrock. Instead, they built it on the soil that has now compressed. And as a result, the tower tips just a little further every year. And this is similar to the problem Jesus mentions here in verse 26. He says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Realize that in Israel there is a rainy season and there's a dry season. You could build a house in the dry season and there'd be no problem. But then the rainy season comes and the flash floods hit. And you realize that what you thought was a good lot was really just a sandy gully that filled up with water runoff. All of a sudden, your house is collapsing, and it's moving off its foundation. Now you've got serious problems. And this is the man who hears the words of Jesus, and rather than apply his truths and obey them and build his life around them, he takes it all for granted. He just nods in agreement, but he fails to take it to heart. This man figures all is fine. Oh, this doesn't apply to me. Call him gullible. For when the storm rages, he realizes his tragic mistake. When Beth Crow purchased her house, she had no reason to believe that she was buying any trouble. She lived in the house for 7 years until she noticed a problem. At first, mortar started falling from her fireplace. Then over time, her chimney started to sink. Then the basement wall cracked. Then the back wall of the house began to crumble. She had lived in the house for 10 years when she discovered that it had been built on a garbage dump. The foundation rested on 55-gallon drums and old tires and hot water heaters and burnt-out boards and debris. Her house became uninhabitable. Beth had to bulldoze, clean up, and rebuild. And this is what happens when a man builds his life on human wisdom and godless philosophy. For a time, there may be, it may all go well, but eventually that foundation is going to give way and that life is going to crumble. Notice Jesus' final verdict in verse 28, and great was its fall. Boy, I don't want that to ever be said over my life. Great was its fall. You remember those three little porkers? The first two pigs, they built houses out of straw and sticks. But then the big bad wolf, he huffed and puffed and he blew the house down. Now the version I used to read to my kids, the sanitized version for little children, said that the foolish pigs escaped to their wise brother's brick house. But did you know that some of the original versions of the story, the real truth versions of the story, said that the wolf ate the two pigs? That's what it said. Great was their fall. And this is the plight of the foolish man who builds his house on the sand, not the rock. Have you storm-proofed your life? Have you wolf-proofed your life? Are you building on shifting sand or on solid rock? Again, Jesus uses only one criteria here to distinguish between the man who survived and the man who was destroyed. He says that the wise man heard his sayings and did them. He listened and then he acted on it and did something about it. Once there was a pastor, he took over a church in a logging town. He was out in the woods hunting one day when he noticed several of his church members, they were stealing some of their competitors' logs. They were sawing the brands off the ends of the logs, taking them as their own. Well, that Sunday, the pastor decided to preach a sermon he entitled, "Thou Shalt Not Covet Thy Neighbor's Property." The perpetrators congratulated him on the best sermon they'd ever heard. And yet on Monday morning, they were right back out in the woods stealing logs. Thus, the next week, the pastor preached again, and he titled his sermon, "Thou Shalt Not Steal." But again, everyone liked the sermon until Monday morning rolled around, and once again, they were out there stealing logs. Well, the third week, he preached another sermon. This one he entitled, "Thou Shalt Not Cut Branded Ends Off Someone Else's Logs." Finally, they got the point. Hey, some people are expert listeners, but they never act on what they hear. Hey, never forget this truth. Judas heard every one of Jesus' sermons, but it did him absolutely no good. A wise person hears these sayings and does them. Well, verse 28 wraps up Jesus' sermon. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Jewish rabbis, they lacked authority. They couched their words as suggestions. They quoted each other to try to validate themselves. In essence, their teaching was lame. On the other hand, Jesus' words were weighty. He spoke with an authority that no one had ever heard before. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you," His words were new and fresh and alive and powerful and heavenly. He spoke the words of God. And here's the question for us today. What has Jesus been saying to your heart that you need to apply to your life? Will you hear the words of Jesus and do them? One author writes, "Throughout the Bible, when God asked a man to do something, methods, means, materials, and specific directions were always provided. The man just had one thing to do: obey." Have you entered the narrow gate?
That concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us next time as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. You can learn a great deal about Pastor Sandy by visiting our website. The web address is sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. Simply click on the radio program option from the main menu. When you click on the radio program option at the website, you'll find today's message and many other messages from Pastor Sandy. You can download today's teaching, listen again, subscribe to the podcast, or browse the archive of messages. If you live in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area, or will be passing through, you can get directions and times of the services. Again, the website for all this information is sandyadams.org. We love hearing how God's Word touches the lives of His followers. So please log on to sandyadams.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us a note about how today's message has encouraged you. Your feedback helps us tremendously. Once again, you've been listening to the Daily Bible Teaching Program of Pastor Sandy Adams. Please tune in next time as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.